message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
All right, let's take a look at this. I think we're going to have some fun. Kiddos, I've got three clips for you. I'm going to show three parts of the Rudolph movie. You're going to see a total of about 3.5 minutes of this movie. And then I'm going to talk about those. I got four little things that I want to share with you today. And so the first clip, we're going to come with that one here in just a minute. But the first clip, after Sam the Snowman talks, we go in there and we find that Rudolph is being born. Go ahead and play that one.
Well, now let me tell you about Rudolph. It all started a couple of years before the big snow.
That's a green umbrella.
It was springtime, and Santa's lead reindeer, Donner, had just become a proud papa.
Nah, we'll call him Rudolph.
Rudolph is a lovely name. Rudolph.
Hey, he knows his name already.
Papa, Mama, he's got a shiny nose.
Shiny? I'd even say it glows.
Well, we'll simply have to overlook it.
Now, how can you overlook that? His beak blinks like a blinking beacon.
Well, there you go. That's the beginning of the show right there. Let me just tell you before I give you the first point, I think reindeer are awesome because they fly. If a reindeer can fly, that's a pretty awesome reindeer. But even more awesome than the reindeer, the other reindeer, is Rudolph. Rudolph is the most awesome reindeer because not only can he fly, he gets to lead Santa's sleigh. But you know who's more awesome than Rudolph? You are. No, you are. Every one of you are more awesome than Rudolph. And Rudolph was pretty awesome. According to the song, he's the most famous. And he also went down in history, right? So Rudolph is pretty awesome, but you are more awesome. So let me give you the first point, and it's simply this. You are awesome. Kiddos, you need to know that. You're awesome. The word awesome means overwhelming feel of admiration, inspiring awe. Whenever you were born, you know what people did? They went, ooh, ah. Oh. People oohed and awed over you when you were born. And you ain't done nothing. You ain't danced, you didn't sing, you didn't juggle, you didn't do any kind of a feat at all, but yet they were oohing and aahing over you and taking pictures as if you're the best thing ever. And that's because you're awesome. They all wanted to hold you, and you just laid there pretty much helpless. In fact, you don't even know how to go to the bathroom correctly. You're just making messes. And yet we are oohing and aahing over you because you are awesome. You didn't do anything great, no great accomplishment, but you're still awesome. Why? You are awesome just because you are you. You're awesome just because of who you are, not because of what you do. So I'm going to give you a text. We're going to put that on the screen here in the Bible. In Psalm 139, verse 14, it says this. I will praise you, talking about God, I will praise God because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what that means? You're fearfully and wonderfully made? That means you're awesome. God says you have been made to be awesome. You've been made by God Himself. The one who made everything made you, and you're here on purpose. You're not an accident. You're supposed to be here. All right. The second clip. In this clip here, Rudolph is going to the reindeer games. It starts out kind of good, ends kind of bad. So here you go.
Gee, I gotta go back. Would you walk up with me?
Uh-huh. Rudolph. I think you're cute.
I'm cute!
Magnificent!
I'm cute! She said I'm cute!
At all.
Hey, you're okay.
She said I'm cute. Ha ha!
Come on. For crying out loud.
Fireball.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Get away. Get away from me.
Now, now, now,
now, what's this nonsense here, Box? After all, yeah!
Hey, look at the beak.
Beak, buy us new.
Rainbow Paws.
Thanks, Snap.
Stop calling me names.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself. What a pity. He had a nice takeoff, too.
All right, now, yearlings, back to practice. Oh, no, not you. You better go home with your folks. From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games, right?
Point number two. People, and apparently reindeer, can be mean. People can be mean. Not everybody's nice. Not everybody follows the golden rule. How many of y'all know the golden rule? Treat people the way you want people to treat you, right? That's the golden rule. Not everybody follows it. Not everybody is nice. Even adults can be mean. The coach was mean. Santa could use some improvement. It's not just junior high kids that are mean. There are mean people of all ages and all flavors. You are awesome, but people can be mean. There's a song, you've heard it, and in that song it says this: all of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. So a question for you. They're ridiculing him, they're labeling him, they're excluding him. Have you ever been ridiculed? Have you ever been laughed at? What does that mean? That's a good question. Bring it down, Hammonds. Put it on the lower shelf. Have you ever been laughed at? Have you ever been made fun of? Have you ever been left out? Yeah. See, now I'm communicating right there. True story. This happened to me. I had a friend, and he was in the football group. I was in the band group. But we connected because of where we lived, and so we made a connection. And so even though we were in kind of different circles, we bonded. And one day, he calls me to come over to his house and play. So I go to his house, and we're playing. And he gets a phone call. And that's not a cell phone. That's one on the wall. This is a ways back. He answers the phone, and I hear him talking. And what has happened, there's another kid that goes to our school that lives right next door to him, has a swimming pool. You know what's better than a swimming pool? Your neighbor having a swimming pool. He calls him and he invites him to come over and swim. Now, my friend that called me over to his house, did he say, hey, you want to go swimming? Let me ask if you can come too. No, he didn't. He hung up and he said, okay. And he told me, hey, you got to go home now. I know. Why? I'm going swimming. So I was a good playmate until something better came along, until there was a better option, and then I was quickly disposed of. So we go through things like that because people can be mean, people can be thoughtless. In this show, we find two people who find each other, Rudolph being one of them and Hermie being the other. They have something in common. They are both misfits. They're not in the in group. How many of you know there's the in group? There's the out group, there's the populars, the unpopulars. Every school has this pecking order thing that goes on. Our school had them. We had Donald. Donald, I don't know if he played guitar, but he took one to school every day. And I don't mean in a case. I mean, he strapped it on his back, and he walked down the halls with a guitar strapped to his back. Every time you saw Donald, he had a guitar, always on his back, never playing it. We had a group of guys that found each other, and they were kind of their own little group. And during lunch, not all the time, but sometimes during lunch, they would sit around a clover patch, and they would eat clover for lunch, and they told us how it's nutritious, it's good for you. They're probably scientists right now making decisions for you and me. We had a girl named Mary. I saved Mary for last because this is where I come in. Mary was a misfit. Mary didn't fit in. Mary was made fun of a lot. I've watched Mary buckle and cry and just sit down on the concrete during band rehearsal and just weep because of the fun and the ridicule that people made of her. You know what I did? I wrote a poem about Mary. It wasn't a good poem. It was a poem that poked fun, and I'm pretty good with words, and it was a pretty clever little mean poem. But I didn't read it to Mary. I gave it to a friend of mine. And this friend went and gave it to somebody else, and this somebody else was part of a different group that I wasn't part of. But as soon as this friend, who I did know, gave this other group the poem for me and they read it, all of a sudden this group thought I was pretty awesome at the expense of Mary. People can be mean, and I was mean. Not all. Teresa just went, yeah. Not all the time, but that was a mean thing to do. It was also before Jesus. I just want you to know. But I've done some mean things after Jesus. It was years later. I don't know what Mary did with her life, and I don't know if it was a reunion or what, but somewhere 15 years after high school or what, I ran into Mary. And now I do know Jesus. And it just went back in my mind what I had done. And I told Mary, I said, Mary, do you remember? And I can't remember if she remembered or not, because the poem did get back to her. Not through me. I wrote it, but it got to her. And I offered my best apology to Mary for just being mean. See, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, which means you're awesome. But the thing is, other people, even the misfits, those that aren't in your circle, they're also awesome. They're also fearfully and wonderfully made. They're also designed and made by God. So, before we give you the next point, question for you. Why are people mean sometimes? Maybe you've been mean before. Why? Why are you mean? There's a lot of reasons. We're not going to go down them all right now, but I'm going to tell you the reason I was mean, and I think this is probably one of the top reasons. The reason I was mean is because I had my own issues of not belonging, not fitting in, but I was better than Mary. And so I could write this mean poem and give it over here, and then I would get approval from a group that I didn't have approval from. You know, we're looking for approval. We're looking to count. We want to matter. We want to be awesome. And I want you to know you already are, and you don't have to be mean to somebody else to prove it. So that's why I was mean. There is a belief going on inside of us at times that we are less than. And whenever you feel like you're less than, I'm not as intelligent. I'm not as handsome. I'm not as beautiful. I'm not as smart. And so we fall short. And whenever we fall short, there's a tendency at times to lash out and to be mean. So you are awesome. People can be mean. Point number three, you are still awesome and unique. Two things here. You're still awesome. Well, I put that because no matter how mean people may be to you, doesn't change the fact that you're awesome. Mary was awesome. People were mean to her. God still saw her as awesome. The way people treat you doesn't change who you are unless you let it get to you. You're still awesome. Just because they say this, just because they think this. Listen, what they say, what they think, you can't give weight to that. Your identity is not in what other people say about you. Your identity is not in what you think about yourself. Your identity is in what God says about you, and God says, you're awesome. That's your identity. That's who you are. And then you're unique. Let's talk about that just a little bit. You are unique. In other words, you're an original. You're not like anybody else. You're different. And different can be good, and different can be challenging. You know, we all would like to be different. If being different means I can fly and you can't, I don't mind being different. But if being different means I have a big wart on my nose and y'all don't, I don't want to be different. You are unique. This right here is a $2 bill. I carry these, and as the Lord leads, I give them out. And usually when I give them out, it's because I'm prompted and I just sense maybe a need of encouragement that is there. And so I'll tip somebody else, say, here's your tip, and I'm going to give you this as well. And I give them a $2 bill. 9 times out of 10, when I give away this $2 bill, you know what happens? Ooh, wow, oh, a $2 bill. If I gave them a $5 bill, they wouldn't do ooh and wow. They'd go, thank you. But they ooh and ah over a $2 bill. Why? What's unique about the $2 bill? It is unique. That's the thing. It's rare. It's different. Now, there is a group of people I don't think always like the $2 bill, and that's the one with the register. There's not a slot for the $2 bill. There's the one, the five, the 10, the 20, but there's no slot for the $2 bill. See, the $2 bill doesn't always fit in. And you're not going to always fit in, but you're a very unique individual and you have value. This $2 bill has value. You have value. So you need to know that you're awesome. You're still awesome if people were mean, and you're unique. Let's go back to Rudolph for just a minute before I get this next clip. Rudolph was unique, right? But the thing that made him unique was also the thing that gave him grief. See, we like to be different as long as it's a positive thing, but not a negative thing. Can I just tell you, let you in on a secret? Most everyone in here, if not 100% of everyone in here, has something about themselves they don't like. Stand up and testify. No, some of you say, I don't want to talk about it, because if I talk about it, others might notice it, and it just amplifies it. And the thing is, you're just like the rest of us. We all have something about ourselves we don't like. I don't have as much hair on my head as I'd like to have. I got too much on my back that I want. The Bible says about Esau, he was a hairy man. I identify. And you know what? When I was younger, some of these things really tripped me up. They made me self-conscious. As I get older and I realize, you know what? I don't care what you think. I don't care what they say. I'm going to care what he says, what he thinks. Now, that doesn't mean don't take care of yourself. It just means you may have a feature that, like Rudolph, it gives you grief. It might be something you can work on and change, and it might not. It might be a feature that is there. So what about you? Is there something about you that you like to change? Is there something about you that gives you grief? When you look in the mirror, do you see something that bothers you? It might not even be a physical feature. It might be what your grief is. I can't do that, and they can. I'm not very good at this. The unique thing about you that may make you stand out from others and separate you from some, three things. One day, it might be turned around like Rudolph, and it might become a positive instead of a negative. A second thing, one day, it might be gone. But the third thing, this thing that gives you grief, it might always be a thorn in your side until Jesus comes. What are you going to do about that? In other words, you're going to have to learn to live with it, in spite that this one is mean to you because of it, and you can't even help it. There's a line from Sam the Snowman, the narrator. He says this. This is after Rudolph's been made fun of. He says, growing up, Rudolph realized that he couldn't run away from all his troubles. Somewhere you just got to realize this is part of me. This is who I am, and I've got to learn to live with this. See, you got two options when people make fun of you. When people ridicule you, I can say that word now, you learned it. When people laugh at you, you got two options. When they're mean to you, your two options are this. You can be mean to them, or you can be Jesus to them. So, I like the first option, don't you? I mean, admit it. Don't you like the first option? Let's just be mean back. They call you a name. Well, yeah, well, you're a this. But that we got to get in that back and forth. They call you a name, you call them a name. They make fun of you, you make fun of them. Well, that's one option. They be mean to you, you can be mean to them. But what about the other option? It's not the easier option. But what about being like Jesus? Jesus said, bless those that curse you. Pray for those who use you. Be kind to those who are mean to you. Didn't say that exactly, but that's the concept that's being presented there. Listen, if you return meanness for meanness, it's like getting on a merry-go-round and just spinning and spinning. Eventually, you're going to get sick of it. Somewhere, you got to decide to get off of that and just be who you are, accept that, be proud about that, love God for that, and if people like you, great, they like you. Newsflash, not everybody's going to like you, and you don't have to worry about that. Do your best to like people. Do your best not to be mean to them. All right, final clip. We're getting ready to wind it down here. In this clip here, it's the end of the movie. Rudolph is chosen by Santa to lead the sleigh. Go ahead.
Quiet, please, everybody, quiet. Quiet. I've got some bad news, folks. Christmas is going to be canceled. There's nothing I can do. This weather. Yeah. Rudolph, please, could you tone it down a bit? I mean, that nose of yours. That nose. That beautiful, wonderful nose.
Huh?
Rudolph. Christmas is not off, and you're going to lead my team.
I am?
Yes, sir. You and that wonderful nose of yours.
My nose, sir?
Oh, from what I see now, that'll cut through the murkiest storm they can dish up. What I'm trying to say is, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Final point. You are awesome. People can be mean. You're still awesome and unique. And number four, God has his eyes on you. Keep your eyes on him. I want to share with you another verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said this, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. I've added to that. I am not embarrassed because I know who I believe. I am not discouraged over that feature of mine because I know who I believe. I am not insecure because I know who I believe. I am not less than because I know in whom I believe. I am awesome because I know in whom I believe. I want to give you a closing thought, and it's this. The key to believing you're awesome, I'm telling you you're awesome, but you got to tell yourself. You got to believe it. The key to believing that you're awesome is to believe in the God who says you're awesome. Moms and dads, I want to encourage you, instill this kind of thing in your kids day in and day out. Tell them they're awesome. Put those positive things in. They are awesome. Yeah, but he spilt the milk. That's all right. He's an awesome kid who spilt the milk. Awesome doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. Awesome doesn't mean perfect. It means you're fearfully and wonderfully made and you're here on purpose for such a time as this. And your kids have been born for such a time as this, and they are awesome. And the key to grabbing hold of that and letting it be true to you is just believe in the God who says that about you. God says you're awesome. All right, stand up with me. I want to have our kiddos come and line up here on the stripe. Extend your hands. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I want to thank you for our awesome kids. I want to thank you that every one of them or a gift from God. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, they are unique in their giftings and in their talents. God, I pray that they would embrace the things that you have given them and that they would use those things, those gifts, to serve you and to serve people. Father, I pray that if they are treated in a manner that is not good, if somebody is mean to them, God, I pray that we can let Jesus rise up in us and not return that. Lord, I pray for each one of these young ones. Lord, and I include myself and the adults, the moms and dads as well, that we can just embrace the truth that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, that we have no reason to hang our head. We have no reason to be embarrassed, to be ashamed. But, Father, we can know that we are awesome because you said we are. So, Lord, help us to embrace that. Help us to grab hold of that truth and help us to do well in serving you in the days in which we find ourselves. We pray it in Jesus' name. The church says, amen. Amen. Give Jesus a good hand clap, kiddos.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.